I want to take a couple words from verse 2 of chapter 12, the book of Hebrews, for my topic tonight. I want looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Look at the two words, the finisher. The finisher.
Glory.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And I want to speak on those two words tonight, the finisher. Shall we pray? Blessed Jesus.
Glory.
Lord, it's always a treat to be in your house. God, you told us when we come in, we should just walk in these doors with thanksgiving. Come in your courts with praise. And you want us to lift up holy hands without a wrath or doubting. You said that men everywhere ought to praise. You don't want us to doubt. You want us to come before you, God, with joy. You want us to worship you. And I pray tonight that you'll just bless this congregation of thy people from various assemblies. Oh, bless this week here that precedes, God, this great homecoming and the great service they're going to have right away. And I pray, God, that we just might build it up a little bit night after night. And we want you to put your eye upon us. Oh, God, set your seal of approval upon what's going to be said and done here. We want to lift up your name. We want to hold high thy standard. We want to exalt your great cause. We want to worship you in spirit and in truth. And above all things, God, just have your way with everything that's said and done, and we'll give you praise for it all in Jesus' name.
Praise God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Well, the finisher. You know, we have a lot of folks today that can start things. I mean, they start them all. But there's not very many people that I've ever seen that's a real finisher. I used to kind of rough in concrete when I worked with a concrete gang up in Oregon. And brother, I was really roughing it in. Make no mistake about that. But I used to like that. They had a foreigner. I don't know what his nationality was now, but he was one more finisher. And when he got done, it was finished. It was the finished product when he got done. And there's a lot of people that are rough carpenters, and they can just do a thing roughly. Rough it in. But that little finishing touch is the thing that sets it off. Yeah. I love to watch an artist, and we have some in this area, as they begin to paint.
Amen.
They can just take just an empty canvas and get their brush and daub it in the paint and just put it out there and put some oil there. A little bit of this color there and a little bit of that color, and it don't look like much. But after a while, it begins just to take shape. And you begin to see it coming to life. And you begin to see the rough draft and the outline of it all. And then pretty soon, that's not enough. He puts the big brush down and he gets up the little brush. And then he gets a little more colors and he puts the highlights in there. And then he puts a little finishing touches to it. And brother, that makes the picture. I want to talk tonight about that finisher. Jesus Christ is not only the author of your salvation, but he's the finisher. And that word author, as it stands in this book right here, in this verse, it means the beginner. He not only is the beginner of this thing, or the starter off of this thing, but he's the one that finishes this thing off. And that's what I'm interested in tonight. Not just seeing anybody starting off for God, but we want you to finish this race. It's nice that men could come to an altar. It's nice that people could have a start. But if we're going to go on with God, we've got to see the finish of this thing. Hallelujah. Now notice, God does not do everything in just one shot. Did you know that? Somebody says, oh, well, I accepted Christ and I was saved just like that. Is that so? Where do you read that in there? God doesn't do anything just like that. As a matter of fact, God begins things and then he has to finish things. He starts things and it takes a little period of time. I don't care whether you believe it or not.
Lord,
for
yeah.
God to get things done.
Come on, come on.
Yeah. And God just has to slowly work things out. You see, according to my Bible, it's line upon line.
Yeah.
I said it's line upon line.
Yeah.
It's precept upon precept.
Yeah.
It's precept upon precept.
Yeah.
It's here a little. It's there a little.
Yeah.
Bless God. God starts something. He adds to it.
Yeah.
He adds some more.
Yeah.
He adds some more. And down the line, he has to finish it all.
Yeah.
You weren't saved in one shot. You were brought to Christ. You found this revelation. You found this truth. You found this other truth.
Yes.
And God began to open your eyes and show you some more.
Yes.
And he showed you some more.
Yes.
And he showed you some more.
Yes.
And he added more and more and more to it. But God's not finished with us yet by a long shot.
Yes.
When God made a world, he didn't finish it just like that. But the first day, God, he says, all right, I'm just going to separate now the firmament here. And I'm just going to make a big expanse. And the first day, whether you call it a 24-hour day, or whether you call it a 1,000-year day, or whether you call it a 7,000-year day, God didn't finish it in one day. As a matter of fact, he went ahead and worked all day long. And he got that earth made just like it, he wanted it made. And then God looked it all over. And he said, that just suits me fine. That's just the way I want it. But I'm not finished yet. And so God just said, this is all for tonight. And then the next day, God gets out there. And then he says, I'm going to add a little bit more to it. And brother, he puts the sun over here. And then when the sun goes down, he makes the moon come over here.
Yeah.
And he just throws a big handful of stars and calls it the Milky Way. And when God got done with that day's work, he said, I'm still not finished, but I got more to do. And bless God, there was another day that come on. And God made the mountains. And God made the rivers. And God made the oceans. But God still wasn't done. He made the fish to swim. And he made the birds to fly. And he made the animals, bless God, to walk through the woods. Everything was just like God wanted it. But God said, I'm still not finished. But bless God, the Lord wasn't through with this old world. Oh, that's right. You see, brother, God had the beautiful landscape and grass growing out. And he had the trees just to waving in the breeze, but God wasn't through. There was something missing on this old earth. And God said, I know what's missing. And I'm not done with this world. I'm going to make a man.
Yeah.
And God put Adam down here. And Adam walked around a little bit. And that looked like it was all right. But God said, that's still not enough. I started this off, but I'm not finished yet. So Adam is put to sleep. And then God takes that rib, you know, right out of his side. And he said, I'm going to make a helpmeet for you. No, say, they began to walk on together. And they have dominion over all the animals. And they dress the garden. And they rule this whole world. And everything looked all right. But did you know God worked one day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days, and he wasn't through. But then when he got done with that 6 day, God looked it all over and says, that's just the way I want it. So then God, he sets him down and he says, I'm going to rest now. I'm finished. Now we have our 6,000 years right here now, we men have. We 6,000 years, brother, when God's working with man. But there's coming a time when God's plan is coming to an end. And God's not finished with us yet. But when God gets done and he sets him down upon the throne one of these days, he's going to look this whole world over and God's going to have his day of finishing things off. But right now, he's not through. God didn't do that in a day. He didn't finish creation in one day. It took him a while. And yet some folks think that God's all through with them just when they raise their hands and say, I accept Jesus as my personal Savior. God doesn't do things in a hurry. As a matter of fact, you know, God in the Bible, as you open it up, all of these scriptorians tell me, as they begin to read in there, as they go into the Hebrew, the Aramaic, the Chaldean, they begin to read the old ancient manuscripts. They say that the word God way back there was Elohim. Yes. Oh, that was just the God known as the Creator. Yes. He had no other significance than that. They just see the God that the Gentiles knew, or any other nation knew. God didn't have any special people then. No, sir. And we find that when in those days, God was just known as God. He was just known as God Almighty. But all one day, bless God, the Bible said in the book of Exodus about the sixth chapter there, God is speaking to Moses. And he said, now, to you, he said, you're going to know me as Jehovah. By this name, he said, I wasn't known to Abraham. To Abraham, I was known as God Almighty. Did you know God didn't reveal himself one day? He could have got Adam and Eve out there and says, I want to tell you my real name. I want to show you who I am. But God did not reveal himself to everybody in those days. There was a man that wrestled with him all night long and wanted to know the name of God, but God did not show it to him. God did not let that old boy find out who his name was. He just got his leg out of joint and he hung on in prayer, but he still didn't get to know the name that you know tonight. God said it's a secret. God said it's a secret. Yet. Little bit by little bit, I'm going to hand him out some more. And I'll give him a little bit over here. And I'll show him some more truth over there. But I just can't tell him everything all in one day. Well, he said, I'll tell you. He said, now my name to you, Abraham, is Almighty God. That's who I am. And then, bless God, he got on down to Moses. And he said, my name is Jehovah. That means I'm the covenant God. That means I'm the God that has a covenant or a relationship with a chosen people. Oh, yes, and my name means he that was, and that is, and that will be. I'm the Almighty. I'm the one that used to be. I'm the one that is now. And I'm the one that will always be. I'm the great I am. I am. Well, oh, yes, and Moses laid him down and died, and people went through the wilderness and through the tabernacle ritual. But after a while, bless God, there come a day when a little bitty babe was born in a manger, laid in that manger in a little town called Bethlehem. And the angel said, I'm going to give you the secret from out of the corners of glory, out of the distant places of eternity. I'm bringing God's great name, and I'm going to herald it down the corners of time, and I want all the hillside to rejoice when we tell you that this baby's name is going to be called Jesus. It's going to be called Jesus. That's God's name. That's the name above every name. That's the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Why didn't God tell him that before? He doesn't do things all at once. Your child does not understand everything that is to understand when he's in kindergarten. You have to grow in this. I said you got to grow a little bit every day. You got to kind of mature in this thing. You got to be called. You got to be chosen. And then you have to be faithful. And God is going to reveal more to his people. And going to open your eyes and show you more. If you're willing to go on and do his will. They had the law back in those days. But did you know the law was not everything? As a matter of fact, the law was only a schoolmaster to bring them to Christ. And they thought the law was perfect. But my Bible said if the law was perfect, there wouldn't be any need for having anything else. But it wasn't perfect. It had its flaws. It had its shortcomings. It had its limitations. And bless God, that's why we have grace. That's why God gave us something better. That's why God opened another door. If everything that we knew was in the Old Testament, we wouldn't have to have the New Testament. But God did not reveal everything all at once. He started with a nation. He builds them up, bless God, to a certain point. They bring a child into a world. And that child brings the gospel to this world. And is our Savior, our Messiah. And one of these days, our coming bridegroom and king. Oh, yes, sir. And I say, just because of that, he's going to be the finisher. Law started it off, but grace is going to finish us. Now, notice salvation's plan. God has a marvelous plan of salvation. This thing just didn't start overnight. Nobody ever got saved by signing a church book. Nobody ever got saved by shaking a preacher's hand. Nobody ever got saved just by saying, I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior. Nobody ever got saved by just doing good. Nobody ever got saved by being honest in their heart and trying the best they can. God's always had a plan. Back in the beginning, when man fell, I want you to notice, Brother God himself rose to the occasion and he typified what should be in the plan of salvation when he covered them with goat skin. When they was all covered up, that meant there had to be a covering or an atonement made for their sins. That meant blood had to be shed. To get those skins, an animal had to die. There was blood out there that had to be spilled just because Adam and Eve missed God. Now notice this. God could have shown them way back in those days everything about the plan of salvation. But they didn't know it all then. Matter of fact, God even told one of the young children. He told both of those young boys. How do I know that God told them? Because man can't have any faith unless they hear the word. Faith only comes when you hear the word. You just don't get faith if you don't understand what it's all about. But you have faith when God speaks and not let you step out and believe the promise of God. God doesn't want you to stand on nothing. He wants you to stand on the word. They had to make a sacrifice. And he said, you're going to have to come out here and I want you to bring me a lamb. When a little old boy maybe didn't understand what it's all about. But he said, if God said a lamb it's going to be. If God said kill this little old lamb, I'm going to kill him. And I can see Abel as he brings him yonder. And brother, the blood begins to trickle down. And brother, each drop of blood, as it fell from that cutthroat of that little lamb, it had something to say. Yes, it did. And bless God, it said, it's not finished yet. It's not finished yet. Oh, this is just a type of what's going to come later on. There was another boy that wouldn't do that. That other boy, he brought his old pumpkins and pomegranates and apples and oranges, or no telling what all, but he just wouldn't mind God. But God had a plan. And if you're going to be saved, you got to go according to God's plan.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Glory.
That boy was killed. And because Abel died, and because Cain killed him, brother, the blood of that just man that did God's bidding began to talk. I say his blood began to speak. It spoke out. It spoke out against murder. It spoke out against sin. Yeah. It spoke out against disobedience to God. And it began to say there's coming a time when there's going to be peace on earth and goodwill toward men. Yeah. There's coming a time when things are going to be better. There's coming a time when little boys are going to be safe and little girls are going to be safe. When there won't be any war. When there won't be any murder. When there won't be any stealing. When there won't be any rape. When there won't be any lust. When there won't be any hatred. That blood began to talk. And it said it's not finished yet. But one day the finisher is going to come. And God said, I'm going to show you my plan. And he gets him a tabernacle. And he said, I want you to do what I say. And I imagine it's awful easy for us right now. Brothers, we begin to read the Bible. And we got Hebrews, the Holy Ghost commentary on the book of Leviticus. And it's kind of easy to find out now what it's all about. But brother, a lot of those old priests years ago, they didn't know what the gold stood for. They didn't know what the silver stood for. They didn't know what the badger skin stood for. They didn't know what the altar really meant. They didn't know what the incense was all about. They didn't know what the gold and the ephod was. They didn't know all of that. They just blindly went out and said, God said it, I'm going to do it. God said so, so I'm going to do it. Notice, please, when you walk by that old badger skin, brother, it had something to say.
Yes,
it said it's not finished yet. But one of these days he's coming. And that badger skin pointed, brother, to the finisher that was going to come many years later. And you went by the altar, brother, the brazen altar there where the animals were sacrificed. The animals on the altar cried out, it's not finished, it's not finished yet. The blood that dripped down said it's not finished, it's not finished. The priest that sacrificed there, he had to say it's not finished yet. The candlestick, brother, the laver, and every bit of that temple testified that the finisher was yet to come. God's plan was not finished in a moment. But every year, all the sins of that generation was just rolled on from sacrifice to sacrifice, from day of atonement to day of atonement. And brother, it got bigger and bigger until it seemed like a mountain to equal the size of this old world, waiting for the finisher to put all the load on his shoulder and stagger up a hill, lift God to a little old cross in the middle there and finish the whole thing. But I'll say, it wasn't finished in a moment. As a matter of fact, prophecy had a long time coming. They stood way back there before the flood. Well, there was a young man got out. I say young because they lived long in those days. He was 360 years old, or 65, and he was preaching the gospel. And he had this to say, one of these days my Lord's going to come. The finisher's going to come down here. He's going to come with 10,000 of his saints, and he's going to execute judgment down here. He's going to convince the ungodly of all the hard speeches they've said and the ungodly deeds that they've ungodly committed. But all this world's going to learn something when the finisher gets here.
Hallelujah.
But notice again.
Oh,
hey, come on down. And brother, everybody testified but little in those days, because the Spirit only flowed just till about the ankles. But a little bit later on, you had some more. Oh, yes, sir. The waters began to rise. They got up around the knees. Yes, they did. And brother, more prophets that came out. They had more visions. They found out more about God. God began to open the door, let them have a little bitty peek there. He didn't show everybody what it was. When Moses wanted to know something, he said, you got to stand right in here, and you got to hide. And I'll put my hand over that cleft in the rock. And when I walk on by, he said, you just take a quick look now. And God took his hand away, And brother, all Moses got to see was God's compeller as he was on fire. Brother.
Glory.
His face shone for 2 weeks when he saw that.
Yeah. Glory.
Bless God, I tell you. We're living in a better age today. You can look in his face and God will reveal his truth unto you. He will open up the door of revelation. He can show you his marvelous plan. He can show you his name. He can show you there's just one God in the Godhead. He can show you there's one man in the Godhead. And brother, it won't only light up your face or your countenance for 2 weeks. It'll make you shine for a lifetime. It'll make you shine all through your Christian journey. Oh yes, God's got revelation for you. God's got blessing for you. My God is here to finish off this thing if you'll just let him do it. Pretty soon, I begin to see an eloquent Isaiah and a fiery Ezekiel. And I can see a weeping Jeremiah. Yeah. And here they begin to come. One old boy, bless God, from the dungeon. I can see another one out here from the sheep coat. Yeah. But they've all got a message. The water's beginning to rise. It's waist high now. Everybody's beginning to prophesy. Everybody's beginning to talk. And they said, someday the finish is going to come. And Isaiah said, I see him coming. Oh, yes, somebody's leaning on his arm. His vest is all dipped in blood. And he's coming down to this old world one of these days. He's going to set up his kingdom. Men might groan in sin here. Men might be in the gutter here. But one of these days, my God, I'm going to finish it all. And later on, it looked like it really was finished. No more preachers were preaching. Think of going to church for 400 years and not finding God. 400 years, brother, nobody made a contact or got a prayer through. But all of a sudden, here was an old hard-boiled, rough-shod preacher standing out there with a grasshopper sandwich. And brother, a message that just shook the ground as he thundered. Repent, bless God, because the finish is coming. You better get ready, because I'm just the old roughshod boy. I might look like a pile driver to you. I'm out here, bless God, to make the high places get down low. And if there's any certain places, I'll lift them up. I'm getting everything ready for the finisher. Somebody said, I believe you're the Lord. Are you the master? No, he said, I'm not the one. I'm not even willing to get down and open up his shoes. But I'm just making room for the finisher to come in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, bless God, he comes. One of these days he comes. John saw him when he came. He stood over yonder on the banks of the water, of the river there. He said, I want you to baptize me, cousin. John looked at him. Oh, no. He said, brother, I feel like you ought to baptize me. I might be the preacher, but I'm under conviction right now. You got to baptize me. I'm not even worthy, brother, to tie your shoes, much less shine them. I'm not worthy to lay my hand on you. Oh, he said, I got to decrease, but the finisher's going to increase. Oh, when a man will put himself down and in the background, he's in God's plan. He's in God's plan. Jesus got up and preached his first sermon. Oh, say, it's always a big treat when you preach your first sermon. And oh, brother, his hometown come out to hear it. They said, now this old boy, he might know how to make all four legs of the table hit the ground all at one time. But I don't believe he can preach. But bless God, this carpenter got up and he could preach too. Oh, yes, he could preach. And he started to preach. And something began to happen. Brother, their hearts began to burn. Conviction got a hold of them. What are you doing, Jesus? He said, it hath been said by Moses, but I say unto you. Oh, he said, now, it's used to say in the book, don't you kill. But I say, if you just hate, you're a murderer. What are you doing, Jesus? I'm finishing this thing up. He used to say, don't commit adultery. But I say you just look at a woman with lust in your heart.
You're just seen as an adulterer. What are you doing, Jesus?
I'm a finisher. I'm coming through to finish up this plan of salvation. No, they had all kinds of little things they went through. But Jesus came, brother, and he picked up all the loose ends, and he tied all the loose strands, and the finisher began to come, and he laid down this gospel, and he made the way straight, for even a fool don't need to lose his soul if he wants to go to heaven.
Praise the Lord.
Oh, God. 33 years later, from the day that he came, I can see him going up a hill. Oh, people today are talking about plans of salvation. Don't tell me about Joe Smith, that old horse thief and adulterer. Don't tell me about the lost books of the Bible. Don't tell me about the Book of Mormon or anybody's dream or revelation. Don't care that much about it. All I care about is that man hanging on the middle cross. Brother, he began to groan there. Oh, as the big old world and load of sin was placed upon his shoulders, and he began to sag beneath the load. And the old wood on the cross seemed to buckle and groan. Oh, Jesus, what do you got to say? He wasn't asking for help for himself, but he had something to say. It is finished. It is finished. That means that God's plan is finished.
Well, I don't think I need the Holy Ghost to be saved. God said it's finished.
You say, well, now, I'll trust Christ and I'll get in that way. My God said this plan's finished.
Yes.
You can't add to it. You can't take away from it. It's finished. But you say, well, I heard some tongues and I heard an interpretation that told me I could do thus and so. Listen to me. I don't give a snap of my fingers for prophecy today that's trying to tell any more or add anything to the plan of salvation. The prophets have already come. The gospel's already been written. And brother, if all these people today that are so-called prophets, if what they've got to say is just like the prophets had to say in the Old Testament, or even in the New, if their prophets are equal to those, listen to me please, then what they got to say is Bible, and we better write another one. But God said it's finished. Oh yes, you might prophesy about what's already in here. You can prophesy what's already written, but you can't add any more. My God said there'd be a curse on you if you do. And you can't take it away because he put a curse on you if you do. This is a finished gospel. This is a finished plan of salvation. If your mama's not in, it's too bad. If your daddy's not in, it's too bad. If your brother's not in, it's too bad. If hubby's not in, if wife's not in, it's too bad. This is finished. You know, the old Jew has been in the plan of God for a long time. From the days of Abraham until the crucifixion, God dealt with a Jew for 2,000 years. And from the crucifixion till now, he's been dealing with a Gentile for roughly 2,000 years. You can't say we Gentiles haven't had a better chance than they had. They started out, brother, in the beginning. We start out with a finished plan. They started out with hardly nothing at all. And we always like to point at them for going into idolatry and going into other sins. We started out with a Holy Ghost tongue-talking way. God have mercy on Gentiles that don't appreciate the plan of God. We've got an open door. We've got so great a salvation. And if we Gentile dogs don't appreciate God's plan of salvation, we're not fit to go to heaven. This is a finished gospel. And they put a finished thing for us to follow today. No need to be lost if you want to be saved. God said, I'm going to make me a people. And all people were the same. There wasn't anybody called the Jews. There was no Jewish race. But God looked in a wicked old city called Ur of the Chaldees. And brother,
in that fellow's day, there was still big talk about the Tower of Babel, about the confusion of tongues. That was still big talk in Abraham's day. Terah told him all about it, and Abraham learned all about it. And one of these days, this man that was the prince and had over 300 servants waiting on him there, hand and foot.
Yeah.
He was a rich man.
Yeah.
He was a wealthy man. And he was a prince in his land. But God said, I want you to leave this country. I want you to follow me. I want you to have a cross on your shoulder. I want you to be my man. Come on out. And Abraham said, I'll start with you. Let's go, God. He didn't know where he was going. And brother, he just stepped out by faith. And when God said, take a step, he took a step. When God said, come on, he said, all right. When God said, halt, he halted. He didn't have what you've got. He lived and he died in the wilderness and never obtained the promise. But from that one man and his seed that God gave him by a miraculous work there, notice what he does. He raises up a nation. And it didn't die. It didn't die when Abraham began to get old. He waited 24 long years for that child. But God said, don't you worry, Abraham. I'm not finished with you yet. Because you're going to have a seed. And it's going to be like the sand of the sea. And it's going to be like the stars of heaven.
Yes.
You haven't got anything to worry about because I'm not finished. And then God, he began to raise them on up until they came to Jacob. You know, Jacob, he got in trouble with God. And after a while, he had his 12 children. And it looked like Jacob's life was up and down and in and out and all around in circles. And one of his boys was in Egypt land now. Even though he didn't make good, he was in the wrong country, it looked like. No, they said, all right, we're going to starve and we need some food. And so they had to go and buy their wheat and they had to buy their corn. But when they got in there, notice what happens. Somebody said, why, we found that fellow over there is our own blood brother. And he's number two man in all the land. And Joseph sends his word back to his dad and said, Dad, you come on in this land. And I'm next to the king here, next to Pharaoh, and I'll take care of you. Don't you worry. No, I could see the old daddy. He's old now, and he begins to pray. Oh, God, I don't want to go into Egypt. I don't want to get there. That's an awful place to go to. I don't want to be there. And God said, don't you worry, boy. Don't you worry, Jacob, because I'm not finished with you yet. You just go and don't you doubt anything. I'm not through with you yet. I said I'll make a nation out of you. I'm going to make a people out of you. And 430 years, they stay in that land. And pretty soon, other kings begin to come up. And they begin to lay the grievous burdens upon them. And then suddenly, they begin to bow their backs underneath the load. And then, they say, God, get us out of here. Get us out of here. And God hears the cry. He raises up a little baby that they wanted to kill just when he was small. But God lets him grow. And he sets him on the palace floor and lets him eat at the king's table. And pretty soon God says, I want to lead my people forth. At the time, brother, he comes out. It almost looked like he fumbled the ball and wasn't going to make it. And God said, I want you to stay over here 40 years and get in a place where you listen to me and do as I say and don't do it your way. And when he was 80 years old, God sends Moses back to lead his people out. Oh, yes, he did. And the Red Sea had to open up. Why? Because God didn't want him to stay there. He wasn't finished with that people yet. God had a plan for them. And he led them out into the wilderness. Now notice, for 40 years they walked in circles. It looks like they weren't getting anywhere. Why didn't God kill them all? Oh, because God had a plan.
Yeah.
And one time God even said, I'll just take you, Moses, and I'll work my plan with you. But Moses said, no, God, you're not going to do that. But you're just going to have mercy on this people, because I still don't think you're finished with them. And God wasn't finished with them. He had to roll back the old River Jordan, and he let them go across into Canaan land. And my God began to bless them, even though they went a-whoring after other gods, and they served false and heathen idols. Yet God said, they're going to suffer. For 70 long years they stayed in captivity.
Yeah.
And notice what happened, please. It, when they hung their hearts upon a willow tree, it looked like all was done. But God said, no, no, sir, it's not done yet. I'm going to teach them a lesson. And while they were in that land, and notice, they had to pay back 70 years. You know, God did say that every seventh year you let the ground rest, didn't he say? If you'll take the time when God started out, you take the time when God started out and gave him the commandment, sow your seed, reap your fields, 6 years, pardon me. On the seventh year, he said, you just let volunteer crops come up. Don't you dig, don't you plow, don't you sow, you just go out there and give what God did. That's all. They didn't do it. Brother, they just plowed 7 straight years, year after year after year. And they owed God 70 years of Sabbaths. And God always gets back what folks owe him. And God put him in captivity for 70 years and let the ground rest for 70 years. Because it just took that rest to put back in the ground that was being taken out of it. And God believes in that.
Yes.
You might not pay your tithes. You didn't think I'd get on it, did you? You might not pay your tithes, but God will get it back anyhow. God has a way of collecting his bills. And God's bookkeeper doesn't make any mistakes. Oh, you say, brother, I don't think it's essential. Well, it's essential, brother, in all the Bible. It's essential before the law. It's essential during the law. And bless God, it's essential on the grace.
Yes,
you can't even be a Christian and rob God.
Come on.
You can't be saved and hold back your tithes.
Right.
Your spirit's wrong to begin with.
Right.
You're selfish. You're not even a Christian. That's not Christ-like. My Jesus wants to be a tithe payer. And tithe payer means 10%. I mean 10% of everything that you make. If you're a farmer and you buy $500 worth of seed, and you plant a crop, bless God, and pretty soon you reap it, and you get $2,500 gross on it, you deduct $500 for the seed, and you pay tithes on $2,000. Oh, yes, you do. You pay tithes on $2,000. You don't get out here and deduct your tractor. You don't deduct your gas and oil. Brother, all the saints haven't had to do, there wouldn't be any tithes coming into church. Well, you say, what'd I do with that gas and oil and tractor? You deduct that with Uncle Sam. You tell Uncle Sam to get the depreciation and figure that up here.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the way you pay tithes.
Well,
that's the way you pay tithes. Brother, if all the preacher paid tithes on, or all the saints paid tithes on, and what they got left over, there's nothing left over.
Yeah.
Nothing left over. God robbers always get in trouble with God.
Yeah.
That is the truth.
Oh,
hallelujah. But oh, God said, I'm not done with these God robbers yet. I'm not finished with them. He had a man down there praying. Oh, brother, he prayed and he waited all day and got no answer. He prayed 2 days, and brother, a week went by, and the old Daniel was still a praying. And 2 weeks went by, and no answer come. And 3 weeks had to go by, and bless God, suddenly the answer come back. No, the angel had something to tell him when he come. And you know what happened? Bless God, he said, I want to tell you, Daniel, that 70 weeks are determined upon God's people Israel until he's finished with them. And it's going to be from the building of that temple, brother, until Messiah is cut off, is going to be 69 weeks. But after he's cut off, there's going to be one more week left. And this means it's going to be a week of years. That is, this week is going to be 7 years. 7 years. If you will take from the time that the temple was erected until Jesus Christ was crucified, it is 69 weeks. That is prophecy weeks. That is 7 year weeks, you know. And bless God, he was cut off. The Messiah, the Prince, was cut off. And bless God, he's cut off until he comes back again. But oh, bless God, it said pretty soon the temple is going to be built again. It said it's going to be built in troublous times. It's going to be built in times of great stress and danger. And brother, that week's going to begin. And then God said his people is going to make a covenant with the Antichrist. Oh, yes, that man of sin is going to make a covenant with him. And bless God, in the middle of the week, said he's going to break that covenant. Yes, it said he's going to break that covenant. He said, oh, brother, I'm going to go through 7 years of tribulation, one fellow told me. Don't be a fool. Hear me, please. You don't know the day that Jesus is coming. Nobody knows the day that Jesus is coming. I could predict to the day that Jesus is coming as a church man if I was here and picked up my paper and I read about Israel making that covenant with that man of sin. I just look at my calendar and say it's going to be 7 years. I'm going to hurry as a thief for you. You better stay ready.
Hallelujah.
And I tell you, what's it all about? Why are we going to have that week? And in the middle of the week, the last 42 months or 3.5 years is going to be that great, awful, troublous time known as Jacob's trouble. That whole week is to get Israel down on his knees when God puts his witnesses up there. My God has got a reason for it all. Why? Because he's not finished with Israel. And all this tribulation is to make Israel fall down on the knees and recognize God. That's what it's all about. It's trying to get Israel to bow down. They're blind tonight. They're hardened tonight. They're in sin tonight. They can't see tonight. But God's not finished with them. Oh, but the finisher's going to come. And bless God, he's going to stand, brother. His feet are going to hit that Mount of Olives, and it's going to stand through. Oh, yes, he is. And he's going to sit out on a throne. And he's going to, bless God, get Israel again. There's going to be his people that are going to rule with him. They're going to reign with him. And everybody's going to have to go up to Jerusalem and say, amen to God. You don't want to think much of Israel, but you wait till God gets done with him. God's not done with the devil. Oh, it looks like it's his day. You see lust and sin and shame and corruption everywhere. Though one time he was the anointed cherub that covered, and he was all splendidly decked out with gold and beautiful stones and so forth, and he fell. And a third of the angels had to fall with him, it looked like. But notice this, God's not done with him yet. He is known as Lucifer. He is known as the prince of the power of the air. He is known as the god of this world. And he's got the spirit of this age in him. But I want to tell you this, my God's not done with him. He said in the Bible there that one of these days he's going to come and he's going to overturn and he's going to overturn and he's going to overturn it. Bless God, even though the devil is riding high, God's going to put him down. He said, remove the diadem and take off the crown. He said, this shall be no more until he come whose right it is, and I'll give it to him. God's going to bind the devil for 1,000 years and put him down in that lake and put him down in that pit. And bless God, when the 1,000 years over, God's still not done with him. But then he's going to take him and put him in the lake of fire. And he's going to be there forever and ever. And torment you no more. And make no more sin. And make no more war. Why? Because my God is going to finish him.
Yeah.
Right quickly, as I close, perhaps God isn't finished with you. You bow down at an altar and you said, Lord, I want to be saved. Oh, somebody jumped up like one did at an altar, prayed a little bit, and said, oh, I feel him. I felt him. Thank God, I'm saved. Somebody said, you're not saved. Is there any more to it? Oh, there's a whole lot more to it. God's not through with you yet. Oh, if you just got a little old blessing, that's not enough. You say, well, what else is to do? You got to get baptized in Jesus' name. You might be as honest as the day is long, but if you're not baptized in Jesus' name, God's not finished with you. Oh, you say, well, I'm baptized in Jesus' name. Well, do you have the Holy Ghost? Oh, no. Well, bless God, you know, the Apostle Paul, he walked down the road one day, and he found some people that thought they were pretty good Christians, until he said, you got the Holy Ghost? They hadn't even heard of there being the Holy Ghost. Then he said, well, I want to tell you, brother, the finisher has come, and you need that finished experience. There's a tongue-talking blessing for you. There's a Holy Ghost place for you. And my God wants everybody to be filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, yeah. To be drunk on the Spirit. Yeah, yeah. To have the revelation of God. Oh, yeah. If you're not living holy, if you don't have God's best and God's blessing, remember this, you're an unfinished work. Is God through with you? You say, preacher, I can't help it, but there's some things I just have to do. I blow my stack and I get mad and I have hatred and I have lust and I have other things. You're unfinished. My God said he's going to have a glorious church.
Glory.
He's going to have a group of people that have made up minds to go on with God. I'm not saying you don't have truth, but God's not done with you. If you're still living in and out and up and down, why don't you let the finisher take over tonight? Why don't you let the finisher come in your heart? Why don't you let the finisher bless your soul? Oh, why don't you let God finish you out? You're just about half done. You're not through yet. You're not finished yet. You're not the man in Christ with a full stature like you ought to be. Why don't you let the finisher take over tonight and bless your soul? God bless you. As we have a song on this altar call here, I want to ask Jesus to bless you.